Julia, and I'm joined by my Russell pal.
Ow!
We have a crazy special guest today! Would you like to do the honors?
Oh, I guess I could. Well, one of our favorite human beings, one of our favorite people in wrestling, a lot of accolades. I mean, let me just off the top of my head. Tough Enough.
Oh, yeah, drop the list.
I got a different Tough Enough contestant. The Rock the Mic champion, only one. Host of Best of West, host of Hood Slam, actor, ordained. He can marry you. He got all the accolades. There's way more. And I'm just, this is off the top of my head. But we got AJ Kirsch in the house today.
Woo-hoo-hoo. Wow. What an intro. Thank you so much for having me. I'm pumped to be here.
We are so grateful to have you.
Was that caffeine? Was that what you were just crediting the caffeine for that huge intro? Yeah. Is that what that was?
Yeah.
Got it.
Powered by caffeine.
Yeah.
I live on caffeine too, so I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Anxiety and caffeine. What? That's how I do it.
I can't judge. I drink coffee all day long too. It's fun. It is what it is. Listen, it is what it is.
Right.
We're millennials.
All right. Well, thank you for being here. We're so grateful. And as always, Al has all the questions. She's always prepared. She is a Virgo, and she is organized. And I'm just going to sit here and probably interrupt and like ask a question just randomly. So let's go do it.
That sounds great. Let's do it. I'm a Virgo too, so this is going to work out awesome.
makes so much sense. Knew it. But I'm going to get into it, but I just kind of want to touch on your beginnings. I don't want to do a whole basic thing, but I just,
you don't have to give us the origin story necessarily,
but like,
how did you end up in the wonderful world of wrestling?
Well, it was the dream since I was a little kid, as it was for many of us who end up in this crazy, wacky, carny world. And, I started watching in March of 96. So it was right on the cusp of just this huge change in wrestling. It was just a few months before the NWO, it was a few months before Austin 316. And then of course, from that time frame came the Attitude Era, and ECW was just starting to make noise. So as I was, you know, growing and becoming a teenager, pro wrestling was kind of growing with me. So that's why I refer to pro wrestling as a phase I never grew out of, because stuck with me long enough that I was like, you know what? I want to see what it's like to be a part of it. Like, I want to, and that started out as me wanting to be a wrestler. And I trained at Pro Championship Wrestling in Oroville, California. That's where it's at now. It was in Yuba City when I was training there. And started out wanting to be a wrestler. And then it was shortly after, it was actually on Tough Enough, that I realized I might have more to contribute to pro wrestling from behind the mic, whether that's as a host, a ring announcer, a commentator, manager, I don't really know. But that promo on Bill DeMott was definitely an aha moment for me. And I was like, I think I should pivot my focus here. I think I know where my gifts are when it comes, because in the ring, I was always okay. I was fine. I was never like what I would call amazing. So I started doing more of the hosting, ring announcing, and commentary thing. And shortly after Tough Enough, fell in with Hood Slam, and then Broseph Joe Brody was born, and really just got me super confident and comfortable on a mic, not just in pro wrestling, but in just about any given live event scenario ever, not just like, you know, in wrestling, out of wrestling, in front of 10 people or 1,000 people. Just got me super comfortable. And then I started doing more commercials and started doing voiceover gigs, and you know, became an ordained minister to my love of pro wrestling and pursuing this wacky ass dream.
That's so cool. Yeah, you're amazing. I like, I had gone to my first Hood Slam a couple of years ago. What was that, 2018? And I had never seen you live. I had never seen you like in person. And like, your emceeing that night was so fun. It was like a 4th of July type event. Your mom was there.
Oh, was that the one where she boozed everybody up?
Yeah.
Oh, that was a great first Hood Slam for you to be at.
That was a great one.
Part of the gimmick of Hood Slam as this Broseph Joe Brody character is I'll like booze up the crowd. I got a bottle of whiskey. It's got a spout on it. I'll booze up the crowd. And so I was injured at the time. I was nursing a knee injury. And so I had stunt bros help me out. So like Shotzi was at Hood Slam at the time. She dressed up as me and boozed up the crowd. Yep. A character named Otis the Gimp dressed up as me and boozed up the crowd. And my mom was one of the stunt bros.
Yeah.
And she dressed up as me and like went around the ring and like baby birded a lot of people. Some whiskey. So a great, for me, and it was one of my favorite moments in my entire near 10-year run at Hood Slam. Your Hood Slam on that night is pretty, pretty epic.
It was really cool. Like, we hadn't even started our podcast. Had we? No,
It's a few months before.
And there was just, like, a lot of nerves about, like, how well we would be on the mic. Would we be able to fill time? Are we capable of even doing that? And like listening to you just kind of keep it going and just like a commentary. And it was so fun. And I was like, I'm excited. I'm excited. We're going to have a good time. It was very inspiring for sure.
Thank you. That
means a lot. And that was like the takeaway from the people I was with too. Like, he's hilarious. Very witty.
I appreciate hearing that because the character is definitely designed to be a bad guy. Like, Broseph is the picture of toxic masculinity.
Yeah.
And so I'm, you know, constantly trying to walk that line between, you have to like him enough to know that he's the host of the show and to like not hate the show because he's the host. But you also have to realize, like, can I swear on this?
Go ahead. Do what you want.
Okay. I also have to walk that line enough to be like, yeah, but fuck this guy. Like, he's just such a buffoon. He's such a douche. Yeah. Like, yeah. But like, that makes it a really fun character to play.
Yeah, it was really fun. And then after that, we had gone to our first Best of the West show. And I was like, he's right there. Yeah. I bought a t-shirt that day.
I did too.
My ex-boyfriend, because he loved you. And I was like, I got to get him a t-shirt. He couldn't make it. So he has that t-shirt still.
Nice. I have the brony one because I didn't get to go to Hood Slam, but she's like, he's so cool. And then I like saw you and I was like, yep, into it 100%. You're like the first person we ever met. We didn't know anybody and we're still like at the tables and we're like, and you're like, hey, like she was like, oh, I remember him. And so we went up to your tape, like your booth, and we're like, she got me a shirt and I was like, this dude's cool. Just personally, let me just gush for a second. Like, I'm super inspired by everything you do, like the commentating and the managing and like hosting, because that with this show is something that I've kind of been like, you know what? I just don't like, I want to do that. This podcast has kind of given me this spark to want to be a part of wrestling instead of just being a fan, you know? Ooh, so like, you're someone I very much like, on my list of people when they're like, who do you inspired by? And I'm like, Renee Young, obviously, Beth Phoenix. And then I'll say like AJ Kirsch. Like,
So it like very, very elite company to be next to. And that means a lot to me. That really
I see you hosting, I'm like, I want to do that. Like, it's obviously it's a hard work. It's a lot of time you've put into this. Did you before you like you said, you did the promo and it changed. Were you always like wanting to entertain, or was it like, were you always just witty, or was it something you had to work on?
It was definitely something I had to work on. Like, I was not a theater kid in high school. I've never taken a formal acting class. Like, it's just, it all came from wrestling. It all just came from this love of pro wrestling. And you know, when I was, until I had gotten to college, I was still like very shy. Was not comfortable talking in front of people, but I knew that I wanted to pursue pro wrestling. And I knew that pro wrestlers need to be confident talking in front of people. That's like, you know, Rock was never a phenomenal wrestler, but he was a phenomenal talker. And that's how he got so over. That's same with Hogan, same with Cena. Like, there was just, they didn't wrestle people into the arenas to see them. They talked them into the arenas to see them. So I knew I had to get good at that. So in college, I chose communications as my major because I knew it would help me become an effective communicator, a confident public speaker, And so I took classes in like argumentation and debate and critical thinking and mass media and propaganda and just everything that I thought would help me become a more confident public speaker. So yeah, it took a lot of work. And then even outside of class, like I would do karaoke at a local bar just to get more comfortable performing in front of people. Just you know, little exercises like that, just kind of slowly whittled that awkwardness and that fear away. And then when it got time to actually perform in wrestling, it was like, well, now you have no choice. You're going to be out there. So
do it.
You better figure it out.
Yeah. And one could say, this is my argument, like anytime somebody would, there was my favorite bartender and he'd be like, wrestling. And I was like, first of all, it's American theater.
Yeah.
Because it's theatrical. Like you have to have, you know, and, I mean, I was not a theater kid either, but it is, it's storytelling. And when it's done well, it's so fun. Like, this is why we love wrestling.
It is theater. Like more than anything else, pro wrestling is absolutely theater. And like, I kind of scoff when somebody still tries to like ride the, it's a sport train. Like it's not, it's not a sport. Like that train left the station in like 1985. Like we do not need to be living in denial and trying to convince people that it's a sport, because guess what? It doesn't matter. The secret's out. Everybody knows pro wrestling is a performance. That's not the point. The point isn't to convince the crowd that it's real. Just like any other movie or television show, the point is to make them forget that it's not. That's it. And if you can do that with compelling characters and interesting storylines, then you've done your job. That's it. That's it.
Simple.
And that's why we say, why isn't everyone watching wrestling?
Right. Well, then you watch wrestling, though, and some of it's like...
Oh, well, yeah. Yeah. This is...
Good work.
I mean, it's nice that there's a lot of it nowadays, and it's nice that there are multiple places to work to make a living, but not all of it's good. That's just going to be the way it is.
Yeah.
Not every movie is good. Sorry, I'm pretty...
Right.
How did you get into Hood Slam? Let's go back to Hood Slam.
Yeah. So I was less than a year removed from Tough Enough, and I'd stayed in touch with the trainers, and I kept bugging Bill and was just like, because at the time he shortly after Tough Enough, he became the head coach of the WWE Performance. Or no,
yeah,
it was still Florida Championship Wrestling at the time. Mm-hmm. Maybe it had just become NXT, or maybe NXT was a show and not yet a brand. Anyway, he was in charge of the development territory. And so I kept picking his brain and was like, you know, what do you want to see from me? Like, what do you need to see from me to make me a valuable commodity to WWE?
Yeah.
And he said, you know what you need to do is you need to work as many different places as possible. And so I had heard about Hood Slam because I was friends on social media with some of the people who were already working there, but I never worked there myself. So I reached out to Sheik, the owner and promoter of Hood Slam, and asked her, like, you know, can I check out a show? Like, can I just drop by and see what it's all about? And she's like, sure. Do you want to hop on commentary? And I was like, okay. Like, I had done commentary, I think, once in my pro wrestling career. And it wasn't even at a show. It was just, you know, in a home studio. It was over a mic. So I'd never done it live. I'd never done live commentary before. So I gave it a shot and it went really well and everybody seemed to enjoy it, but I was still just myself. I wasn't Broseph at the time. I was just AJ Hirsch trying to ride this wave of popularity from Tough Enough. But what I quickly realized is crowd. They are just a crowd who wants to have a rip roaring good time on a Friday night. So none of them really cared that I was on Tough Enough. They really didn't matter to them. So that's when I was like, okay, I need to come up with a character that can stand next to a drugs bunny or a dark sheik or a chupacabra, stoner brothers, Kujak, like all these ridiculous characters. And my character needs to be equally ridiculous and over the top. So I took, you know, as a lot of people, the old cliche goes, like the best characters are parts of your own personality turned away. So I took some parts of my own personality. Like, I went to school at Chico State, which is a notorious party school, and I definitely had my fun. I'm a gym rat. Like, I work out every day. I was a bouncer for a number of years at just this really douchey club in San Francisco. So I was just around this bro culture all the time. And of course, I notoriously, shamelessly, unironically love Nickelback. So you mix
turn it on to turn it up
together.
To 11.
That's right. For turn it up to fucking 21. Like, let's go. So you combine all those things together and you get yourself a character that I imagine that Oakland crowd would not particularly enjoy.
Right.
I walked out to photograph. I was spraying myself with Axe body spray. The second I walked through that curtain and sprayed myself with Axe as Nickelback was playing, the crowd knew, oh, fuck this guy, which was the whole point.
Took the cue perfectly.
Yeah. Right.
I don't want to know that guy. At a hood slam.
No,
but I don't want to meet. No, absolutely not. Don't talk to me at the bar, sir. I'm sorry. Who put the notebook on?
Awesome.
There's that guy. But yeah, no, that's amazing. I love that. Sorry, I'm trying to think of how to word my brain just shut off. That's great.
Oh no!
You mentioned Nickelback,
and everybody just goes dead.
It's just my dad. My brain just it's been a long day.
I checked out.
I'm trying. It's like brains over there. So through Hutzler, you even brought Broseph to AEW television. Well, YouTube this year. How was that?
That was a blast. I actually think they may have deliberately shot around me because I barely popped up at all. And Taz just, he didn't really even say my name. He just said a bunch of syllables. I kind of sound like bro. So I don't know. I don't know why. Like, maybe they didn't want somebody doing something that in the eyes of the casual pro wrestling fan was like already done by Matt Riddle, which I understand. Like, he got to the big stage doing a bro gimmick before I did.
Right.
So, you know, I don't know. I was just, when I saw it, I was just like, oh, like they barely showed me at all. But it was still cool to be there. Like, it was an amazing experience. And the promo that I cut didn't actually make air either.
Oh, but no.
I did cut a promo putting over Tesha. Just doing the best that I could to put her over and make her feel like the next big thing in AEW's women's division. And for whatever reason, it just didn't make air, but I got some praise from it from Dustin Reynolds, who was backstage at the time and just kind of producing, and got some positive feedback. I haven't been back at AEW since, but who knows?
But you networked. You networked.
Right, exactly. Which is the whole point when you're there.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. Which is really bad for us because I'm really bad at networking. I'm very much like I'm gonna leave these people. I'm just gonna go sit down quietly and wait for the show to start. And she's like, we gotta network.
Right, so, right.
You know, and learning how to get out of those habits is hard.
It can be a pain. Like, if you're tired and wanna go home, like, it can be a pain to network, but it really is. It's show business. It's not what you know, it's who you know. And so it's worth it in situations like that to stay as late as you can, talk to as many people as you can, and, you know, see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
You always see me at the table. I'm the talker.
She is the talker.
Unless I'm outside of wrestling, I will not talk to you.
Yeah, we're the opposite. We switch roles after that.
Wrestling's my comfort zone. But you've done a lot of like big things. You were in MLW. How was that experience? Was that like cool or?
Oh yeah, no, MLW was great. Like, I was really happy to get this kind of like crash course in calling wrestling specifically for television. And you know, my first proper gig with MLW was their debut on worldwide pay-per-view. So it was like, I know, no pressure, right? No pressure at all. But I appreciated that because it made me do my homework. It made me like really focus on doing what I had to do to really knock it out of the park. And Rich Bocchini, my broadcast partner, who was Rich Brennan on SmackDown and NXT, I think that was his name at WWE, but he just did an amazing job at getting me, you know, making me aware of what to expect when it comes to calling wrestling for television. And, you know, we were lucky. Most of what we could do with MLW was recorded. Like, we could go back and do what's called wild lines, where you have, like, the powers that be will go through the episode and say, hey, we would appreciate if you could say this line so we can add it in here, add it in there. So we would do that. But again, this first one was worldwide live pay-per-view. It was live, live. There was no going back. So for to throw me into the fire like that, it made it seem like everything else was easy by comparison. And not that it was hard, but just having that in the back of my mind, where it was like, you know, whatever you say, make it good, because there's no tape backs tonight.
That's right. No editing.
Right. We're flying.
That's always terrifying.
That's the best way to learn sometimes.
It was a blast, though, from beginning to end.
Oh, yeah.
The talent there was awesome. Production was awesome. Everybody was having fun doing what they're doing, which really does make a difference when it comes to the final product, and made a lot of friends that I'll probably keep forever.
That's awesome.
It was the friends we made along the way.
Yes.
actually, I'm just, this popped into my eye line, and I feel like I have to ask about it. These guys?
Okay.
These guys?
Oh, snap. That's right.
Yes.
That's right. One half of the former Yolo County Tag Team Champions. No big deal.
Mm-hmm. Now it's an action figure.
I'm blown away that of all the companies in the history of the world, WWE is not just cranking out cardboard replica belts. Like, the markup would be insane. And they're doing it with the action figure, but they're not actually cranking out Yolo County Tag Team Championship belts. Right. They're missing out on a gold mine, and that company loves money.
They do. They truly do.
Right.
But yeah.
So I don't know what they're doing over there.
We have exclusive items, though. I don't know. Yes. Although, like, somebody from Florida.
I haven't made them since, like, I think it was 2018 when that happened, 2019. I don't know. What is time 19. Anymore?
I don't,
but yeah. Like,
but they are very limited. All of them made by hand, by me. So you got yourself a handmade souvenir. Yeah. That's right.
Collectible.
I'm readjusting my backdrop, but it used to hang up all the time. But yes, you and Dave Dutra, was that fun? Was that just like a little like, sure, why not?
Oh, yeah.
Tell us about that experience.
It was great. It was great. So it was kind of funny, too, because on that day, I just brought like a bunch of, I didn't even want to wrestle, to be honest. Like, I don't wrestle anymore. So, well, more on that later. Well, I have some exclusive Best of the West news to actually share on the podcast. So we'll get to that in a second. But like, I went with the intent, you know, okay, so you go to, you're an extra at Raw or SmackDown, and they oftentimes have, Raw doesn't even happen because they're live. Well, I mean, SmackDown's live too now, but anyway, they have people get in the ring and do quick little like 3 or 4 minute matches just to see what people can do given the, you know, a TV time match. We had an odd number of people that day, so I volunteered to be the odd man out because I don't want to wrestle anymore. Like, that's not my future in wrestling. If I have a future in wrestling, it's going to be on the mic. So rather than wrestle a match, I just got in there and cut a promo, which did not go great because I had already like thought of this like 5 minute promo or something. And they started wrapping me up at about 45 seconds. So like, I was like, they only gave, I didn't realize that they were only giving me 60 seconds. So I was like, ah, crap. Well, now this is not going to make a whole lot of sense because I got to wrap this up in 15 seconds. But it was what it was. Later on in the day, they had the segment for Heavy Machinery. And they were like, okay, who do we want to get for their tag team? So they picked Dave Dutra right off the bat. And then it was Tyson Kidd, actually. TJ Wilson, who was one of the producers, who was just like, that guy was on Tough Enough, and they look like they could be a team. Because I hadn't taken a bump yet. So I was like, all right, I guess Dutra and I are the team that Heavy Machinery's going up against on SmackDown. And it was Hurricane Helms that had our segment. And he and I worked together on the indies in the past. So, like, he and I already knew each other. So that was fun working with him. Abyss was also an agent for that segment. And it just got shorter and shorter and shorter as the day went on. And so eventually it got, when it came to time to figure out who was taking what, I was like, you know, okay, so you're just, all you're going to take is like a hip toss and a clothesline. And I'm sorry, it's not a whole lot. And I was like, sorry, I'm thrilled. That's the easy, I have an easy night tonight. Like, I'll do a hip toss, a clothesline, and I'm done. Awesome. Good. That sounds great. So, and then Dutra ended up taking most of the abuse. But another fun fact about that was that all the stuff that I brought was very gimmicky. Like, I brought a couple different versions of Brosif gear and not actual wrestling gear. So Dutra loaned me his tights and knee pads and boots. He wore his. So it worked out well because we kind of looked like a team, like it was similar gear. But people who like knew the both of us were just like, why is AJ and Dutra?
What is he doing?
Yeah, exactly.
I did think that. I was like, wait.
Yeah, if you look closely, it's got like D's on the knee pads and Dutra on the butt. So it was like, hang on a second. What's going on here?
That's good. That's good stuff.
Yeah. It was a fun experience, though. I mean, catering was great. I got gutsy and sat down with Paul Heyman in catering and just kind of struck up a conversation with Paul.
No way!
Yeah.
You gotta take the chance.
He was cool about it.
He would have done it. Follow me. He would have done it
on Twitter. So
interesting. That's so cool.
He was like kind of already wearing my work, I guess, which is a fun little feather in my cap because you know, so cool. Paul Heyman's the best.
Yeah, and if you think about it, he would have done the same thing, being who he is, like knowing that he had like. Was doing these things like he was a teenager, as a kid.
Right. He was doing the whole Heyman hustle thing. Like, I think he appreciated it when I sat down. So I was nice though. I like went up to him. I was like, do you mind if I join you? And how did it go? It was like, hey Paul, I'm AJ. I don't know if you recognize me, but you follow my gimmick on Twitter. He's like, yeah, I know who you are. Sit down and shut the fuck up.
Oh, that's so cool.
But he was like, he wasn't mean when he said shut the fuck up. He was like, you know, just being kind of prodding.
New Yorker.
Right, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I just started like prodding him back, like, and we got to
New Yorker hospitality.
Cool. Exactly.
That's so cool.
Wow. I mean, thanks. You got to take the chance. If I saw Paul Heyman, I wouldn't do it. I'd get scared. I would want to.
Not doing it, but then it was just like, I don't know if I'm ever going to be back here again. Like,
and what's the worst? He's going to get up and move or tell you to leave. Like, hey, beat it.
Right, exactly. Brand. Like, he didn't look busy at the time. It was fine. I took a calculated risk and it went fine.
So cool. Yes,
that's really cool. yeah, you also do. I mentioned it in your little intro. Voiceover work for WWE 2K.
I do.
Was that because of Tough Enough or because of the acting? Chicken or the egg?
That was because of the acting. I got an audition for a voiceover gig for a pro wrestling project, but it was not made clear to me at the time that it was WWE 2K19. Mm-hmm. It was under an entirely different working title, which to this day I'm not allowed to talk about. But I got the audition. I made it clear that I actually have pro wrestling experience. Did the audition, felt really good about it. And then usually after an audition, if I don't hear back within a week or so, it means I didn't get it, which is kind of cruel in showbiz. That's the whole don't call us, we'll call you. Like, if you don't get a gig, you just don't hear back from them forever. That's just how it works. So I thought I didn't get the gig because I didn't hear back from them. And then about another 3 or 4 days later, I got an email saying, hey, we, you know, heard your audition. We really like it. And by the way, this working title is not working title. Working title is actually my career mode for WWE 2K19. And we'd like to offer you the role. And I flipped. I was in my car at the time. I was checking the email at a red light. And I like turned up AC/DC all the way and just started like rocking out. Oh my God, I was so pumped. So
that's
pumped.
So
I
grew up cool.
Playing video games. So it's like, you take my love of video games, you take my love of wrestling, and it's like, to this day, I think that's still like the dream gig. It has not been, awesome. It has not gotten any better since then. As in like, what pie in the sky project that I like to be a part of. It is.
Yes. When you had mentioned it and like hearing it, it was just so crazy. It's like, oh my God, what an opportunity. That is so cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I was really, really fortunate to be a part of that project, and everybody on the team was awesome. You know, I did some motion capture of the moves as well. And everybody mm-hmm. I worked with there was great. I worked with Mikey from the Spirit Squad, of all people. And it was just fun. It was just fun. And fun fact, yeah. as I'm sure you know, Cole Quinn, who I did, you know, who's a character in the game, is Mansoor, Manny Favorino, here in the NorCal area. And so to be able to, you know that this story for 2K19 is coming out of the both of us and just how much both of us love wrestling, it just made it really, really special. Shout out to Mansoor, who's killing it on Raw nowadays.
Yes! So good. So good. That's so cool. That's so just cool. Awesome.
Yeah. You couldn't even like think that when you're a kid. You're like, I like wrestling, I like video games. You're not going to like put that together.
Right, right. 12-year-old me is thrilled for 38-year-old me.
Right? I like to think about that all the time. What would little me think of like where we are? And I think she would just be like, are you serious?
Yeah.
She'd be excited about everything.
Yeah. 10-year-old me. Yeah,
I'm impressing little me right now a lot.
Good. That's a good feeling.
It's a great feeling. Yeah. doing voiceover work and like voice acting, what do you do to like take care of your voice? Are there certain things that you avoid?
Dairy, mostly. Like alcohol and stuff? Definitely alcohol. You don't want to be dehydrated. Mm-hmm. Dairy, you want to avoid just because it makes you like really mm-hmm. phlegmy and just kind of congested. I don't know if you can hear it. I'm a little congested right now. And I've been avoiding. I mean, normally I don't eat or drink dairy as it is, but like over the weekend, I was lazy and I was hanging out with my girlfriend and I was like, should we get some ice cream? She's like, nah, it would not do you any good because I was fighting a cold all weekend.
Yeah. You don't want that.
So yeah, don't drink, you know, avoid dairy if you can. Hot water with some lemon, maybe a little bit of honey is really nice if you like really need to keep your voice in pristine condition.
Gotcha.
But yeah, nothing too elaborate.
Nothing too crazy.
Yeah.
You should already know this, Amelia.
I don't. I don't.
How many years of
your band? If anything, it's just getting worse. I'm so bad at taking care of my voice.
Oh my God.
Well, if it's an important tool and you take care of your tools, you clean your tools.
You're not wrong. Yeah, absolutely. I'll work on that, Elle. I'm sorry.
Yeah. However, how are we supposed to have a live performance of our theme song if your voice is
shot? Oh, man. I don't know. My voice is constantly shot.
It's a good point, though.
Thank you for the tips, though. I will definitely think about them. Whether I practice them is a whole other thing.
Okay. That's fair.
She heard it. She didn't listen.
I heard it.
Right.
Speaking of like this weekend, Return of Hood Slam, 2,000 people. I'm so jealous we didn't get to go.
Gosh,
I've never been to Hood
Slam.
She wanted to go so bad.
It was something. Oh my God.
How was that?
The energy in the locker room. And then, of course, ones were out there. And it was just as far as you could see. It was a bigger train station in Oakland, which is like the most Oakland location you could have a pro wrestling show.
No kidding.
It was great. It was great.
That's
and
so
like,
cool.
You know, my mom came and my girlfriend came. It was the first time she ever saw Hood Slam. So like to be able to introduce that side of me and something that she's heard about for 20 plus months at this point and like hasn't really experienced it, like felt like she was getting to know me a little bit better. So that was it was really special for a number of reasons. But
to
see those people again and to know that, you know, people really close to me that love me are like in the crowd is just, and of course the crowd, my God, like all 2,000 plus of them were just absolutely lit the entire night. Gosh, and
I can't even imagine.
As I was doing my intro at Hood Slam, you know, like they were right there with me. They didn't miss a beat. It was great.
That's so cool.
I have to go to Hood Slam. I have to.
Yeah,
I have
to go. Yes. It's the best.
I know. It looks so fun. I'm so upset. I didn't really wanted to go.
Even just standing in line is an experience. I had so much fun. And there was people there from like Brooklyn and like visiting, and they're like so excited about going. And that was a very exciting weekend as it was, but it was so cool to see people like from all over the place who heard about Hood Slam and wanted to be there. It was so neat.
Yeah, it's kind of become this thing that if you're in Oakland and Hood Slam's happening, you kind of have to do it.
Like, you have to go.
A definitively Oakland event.
Yeah. Which is funny because I had mentioned I liked wrestling at my new job, and one of my coworkers with Zoom meetings, and he's like from Oakland, he's like, have you ever heard of Hood Slam? And I was like, yes, I have.
That's so
he was
cool.
Like, yeah, I heard it's wild. And I was like, you haven't got, you have to go. Like, go. You're from Oakland. Get over there.
Right, right.
We're all going. We're all going.
Every time you don't experience a Hood Slam. Because also, like, this was our first time back in Oakland since the pandemic. We got another show on Sunday, December the 19th at Oasis in San Francisco, which is this cool little, like, drag bar. So it's going to be super silly, like a lot. I think it's going to be like a cosplay show of some type. Sadly, I will not be there. I've got holiday stuff with family that I will be tending to. So I won't be there, but I don't know when the next show is yet, because this venue is an outdoor venue and it's November and we get rain and it's cold. And so, you know, there's no telling when the next Hood Slam is going to be. But you know, if this last show is any indication, that was not our last. I mean, December won't be our last. I'm confident that that's the case.
Yeah, absolutely.
I will make it a point to be there. I will get the days off.
You're calling in sick, man. We're going.
Any self-respecting wrestling fan, not even wrestling fan, but any self-respecting human who enjoys just a good time.
A good time. Yes. Sure.
I'm always down for a good time.
That's right.
Yeah, I was so jealous seeing all those pictures. But let's talk Best of the West. Let's talk about do it all. You literally do it all for this company. Commentary, hosting, managing Steven Tresario. That's a whole issue.
Yeah, it's a whole issue.
The drama.
Yeah. I feel a little uncomfortable seeing the two of you fight. I feel like you guys need Dr. Shelby or something. Like,
right? No, I know. So here's the deal: is that, you know, let's see. How do I put this? So I'm basically responsible for Steven getting into wrestling. Like, I steered him toward the Stoner U, where he trained to be a wrestler because he was going to go to APW, and then Roland Alexander died, and it became a whole thing. He and I go back like over a decade, actually. We met through Burning Man friends. So like, we go back a long, long time. Long time. And then he, you know, just knew that I was a wrestler and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so then we had this feud at Best of the West in like 2018, maybe. I think 2018. And he ended up getting the better of me because he is a damn good wrestler. And I, you know, like I said, I don't wrestle that frequently. I think in the last 5 years, I've had 5 matches and that was one of them. So not entirely surprised that he beat me, but he beat me fair and square. And now AGB, Alexander G. Bernard, the Best of the West commissioner, like put us in this situation where I have to be his manager. He has to be my client. And that doesn't end until he becomes a champion at Best of the West. So it's awful. I hate it. He hates it. But we can't do anything about it because if I quit or he quits, then he never gets a championship match at Best of the West. And he's so competitive and driven that that's what fuels him. And I lose my job as Best of the West commentator. So it's like, we're just in this awful position where nobody's happy. Nobody's happy.
You're in a situation.
Because he's like making us miserable and he's a jerk. So, yeah. So that's where, awful, that's where we're at. And AGB at the most recent show, you were there. You remember.
I seen him.
We were there.
Mm-hmm. So the Best of the West tag team titles are like up for grabs right now. Mm-hmm. They are vacated. We don't have Best of the West tag team champions right now because Dave Dutra has been gone for a while and he was a double champion, blah, 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 blah. So Steven Tresario and I finally have a shot to end this awful working relationship because Alexander G. Bernard has given us a shot at the Best of the West tag team titles on Saturday, December the 16th? No.
No, well, 11th.
The date?
It's 11th.
11th.
I don't, it's in my calendar. It's the only reason I know.
Okay. I would get out of Zoom right now, but it's you know, I don't want to ruin the recording. And I
got you.
My date, but yes, thank you. So it's like, and tickets, by the way, are on sale at botw.tv/tickets. Thank
you. Tickets, folks. Link below.
And by the way, all kidding and gratuitous plugs aside, every Best of the West since our return from COVID has sold out. So like, if you're watching this, like, don't wait. Get your tickets right now.
Get them.
Because I'm wrestling. I'm actually wrestling. We're wrestling for the tag team titles. And, you know, here's the thing. Stevie is an amazing wrestler. He really is. With or without my help. You know, I'm not wrestling much anymore. So I feel some pressure to at least show up in amazing shape, like the best shape that I possibly can, so that I'm not the weak link of the group. I think even if I do show up in great shape, I'm going to be the weak link of the group because Tresario is in amazing shape all the time. All he does is work out and eat. So like, so anyway, this is our chance to finally be rid of this awful situation. Stevie would get what he wants by becoming a champion at Best of the West. I get what I want by being, well, what both of us want by being rid of this just toxic situation. It's not good for either of us. So that's what's up. That is what's up for Best of the West. Let's see. Are you familiar with what's going on with Vinny Wasco?
May have talked to him yesterday.
Okay. Is he at liberty to discuss it? Are you at liberty
not.
To discuss
I'm,
it?
I can't speak. I don't know when these are airing or which order.
Okay. Well, if that's
but there's the case, a. We can edit this. But
yeah. Anyway, well, I
we do know because we do know something is up with Mr. Vinny Wasco. Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so Vinny and Alonzo were in line for this Best of the West tag team title shot because, like I said, the titles are vacated. So, you know, because we're not sure when this is going to air, I'm guessing it's not going to be for what, at least a week or two, maybe? This week, next week? Okay.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
Here's what's up. And without getting too much into Vinny Wasco's situation, because it's best if it comes from him.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He's not going to be able to be a part of that tag team title match.
Yeah.
So it's not going to be what I originally thought it was going to be, which is myself and Tresario against Vinny Wasco and Alonzo Alvarez.
Which would have been an amazing match, by the
way.
It
really would have been. It would have been. I was looking forward to working both of them, but sadly, you already beat them up. Not how it's going to work out. So their replacements have been made aware to me. And I've gotten permission from Best of the West co-owner, Mike Rain, to share what this match is going to be. And this is the first time
breaking news.
We get
breaking news.
Haven't talked about it on Twitter. Haven't talked about it on Instagram. This is it. That's right. Breaking news. So I can't believe it's working out this way. So it'll be myself and Steven Tresario vying for the Best of the West Tag Team Championships against the team of AGB and Best of the West Heavyweight Champion Johnny Butabi.
What?
This is...
Oh, no!
I...
Yeah, right.
Feelings.
And I feel like, let's hear it. What are you feeling right now? Because I imagine it's quite similar to what I was feeling when I first found out about this.
That seems sus.
Interesting.
You think?
But last here's the deal, though.
There were broken bottles. Okay.
Yeah, that is it seems quite sus, but
yeah. It
also gives me a chance to finally do what I've wanted to do for years.
Oh yeah,
do it.
Get my hands on AGB. Get my hands on my old broadcast partner. And I mean, I also wouldn't mind.
It's legal.
In the face.
Oh, please.
That would be nice. Actually, can you do that three times? One for me and one for
you. Got it. Yeah. Oh god. And could you imagine too? Like if Steven Tresario and I somehow win this, and if Steven Tresario is able to pin Johnny Butabi, I would think he'd be in line for a Best of the West Heavyweight Championship shot, would he not?
Oh, absolutely.
Would he not?
The math adds up.
That's the rules of wrestling.
That's the rules. Those are the rules.
Yeah.
So that's what's up. It's going to be the event's called All the Way. Tickets are on sale right now. Again, botw.tv/tickets. Myself wrestling the sixth match in 6 years, teaming with Steven Tresario. We hate each other, but this is our last, this may be our only shot at getting this ordeal over with. And maybe becoming champions in the process. And then who knows what's going to happen. But basically,
friendship. It's us
against AGB and Johnny Butabi. So,
okay.
Yeah.
That's what's up.
I'm
excited. I mean, yeah, I'm excited.
Me too. Me too. I haven't been a champion since I was the Golden Gig champion at Hood Slam before I was even in Brosis. So like I wouldn't mind adding another feather in my cap at this stage of my career. Nice.
Quite the resume. That would be great.
That's
those
right.
titles are beautiful, you know.
They are. Yep.
Yeah.
So that's what's up. That's what's going on. Late breaking news here on KFC.
Awesome.
Queens.
I'm excited at the thought of seeing I'm the honored. Beat down, honestly.
Oh god, I can't wait. Can't wait. Tell him to have his
It's gonna be fun. It's gonna be the last show of the year. You know, there's a lot as the commentator. I'm also privy to some of the other matches that are happening there. And I can't reveal what they are just yet. So follow at BOTW Wrestling on all things social media. But there are some bangers coming down the pike for the last Best of the West show of the year.
Always a good time.
So excited. I'm just sad. I'm like, what? You're saying the last show of the year. The year started. It's over.
I know. I'm still trying to process 2020 myself. So.
Yeah. Honestly.
Yeah. Yeah.
But like I said, what is time anymore?
It's exactly. Weird. And like, all we have is what to look forward to, and it's going to be a lot of good stuff.
Yep. Yep.
So excited.
So Best of the West all the way, Saturday, December the 11th, right? Double check that. Yes. Is that the date?
Okay. All the way.
Oh, that's right. And you have to do this when you do it, too. Yeah.
Yes, it is the 11th, yes.
Great.
Yay. Oh, so exciting. Al, do you have any more questions?
I think that's just the perfect way to end this.
I think so too.
I don't think there's anything else. I mean, okay, you know, I could end it. I just, for me personally,
sure.
Just tell me about The Rock. Just tell me about The Rock because I love him and he's the reason I got into wrestling. And it's very marky of me, but you know what? I'm going to throw it out there.
I mean, we're all marks at heart. We are marks at heart.
We are.
He is every bit as sweet as he seems. He's the best. I've worked with him on three separate occasions, for those who don't know, on Tough Enough, Rock the Promo, and Ballers. And he's just super nice. He really is. He's just a humble, hardworking, driven, focused, but very friendly, when he talks to you, he makes you feel like you're the only person in the room. And he's arguably the biggest star in the world. And so he doesn't obviously need to do that, but he does. And I think that's part of him just coming from very humble beginnings, going through his share of struggles, but also it's just respectful. And wrestling culture, you know, there's a lot wrong with it, but there's also a lot right with it. Like when he came into the boxing gym where we were doing Rock the Promo, true wrestling etiquette, he went around and introduced himself to every person in the room.
As if they don't know who he is. It's wild.
Yeah. So he is the man. He really is.
I don't know what I would do if I ever was in the presence of The Rock. I would be bawling. Like I said, the reason I got into wrestling is The Rock.
Right. So. He'd probably offer you a hug if you started bawling. He's just that.
Don't even. I just had to get that in there. I was like, it's Marky, but I got to do it.
Of course.
I really appreciate you being on. I appreciate the breaking news. I appreciate you hype us up on intermission. always awesome when we're at shows.
It's always a pleasure to see you at shows. Like I meant it, like when I said it on Twitter, like you're among the absolute best fans we have at Best of the West. You're always super supportive, you're respectful, you buy merchandise, you talk to the wrestlers. We need more fans like you. So thank you for being such awesome fans.
Thank you.
Get all weird.
Yeah, we're so grateful. We're so grateful that you took some time with us today, truly. And we're so excited for what's to come for you. Anything you're doing, we're always excited about. And, you know, when you're not at Best of the West, we're all sad. Like, the whole crowd goes, aww.
Aww, that's
so
sweet.
Yeah.
Aww, that's really nice.
It's so
we're
fun.
We're beloved.
That's really nice. Well, if I can just plug my social real quick.
Yes, please. Tell us where we can find you.
Go ahead.
Cool. Thank you. So I'm at AJ Kirsch. That's AJKIRSCH on all things social media. If you want to follow that douchebag Brosif, you can. He is at Bro J Brody. And let's see. Best of the West, Fresno, December 11th, BOTW.TV/tickets. And I think the last thing is, if you or someone you know want to tie the knot in the not too distant future, as I mentioned, I'm an ordained minister and would love to, I'd be honored to be the one to actually marry. So
I gotta get a partner.
Hit me up, shoot me an email, or no, you know what? Find it on social media, @MarriedByAJ on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We'll shoot a DM to any one of those accounts and I'll be able to get back to you real quick. @MarriedByAJ.
Real quickly, did you just want to be ordained to be ordained, or like why? Like, I love that, but why? Like,
you know, how could I?
Like, why not?
Well, one, why not? And also, how could I use this gift of just being a confident public speaker in a way that's just like as celebratory and joyful as possible? Like, yes. Public speaking is literally the number one fear of Americans. Like, they, statistically, Americans would rather die than talk in public. So I'm like, I need to put this to use in as many different ways as I can. And so it's ridiculously easy to become ordained. And considering my strong and loyal following on social media, I was like, if I just put this out there, maybe I could actually start marrying people. And later this month, I'll be doing my 20th wedding. So
it's
going really well so far.
How fun. And weddings are awesome. Like being a guest at a wedding, the best.
Oh, yeah.
You get great food, good atmosphere with dancing. It's wonderful. Right.
Everybody's happy. Cake. Everybody's just full of love and joy and celebrating. And like, you know, my ceremonies, they're not super long unless the couple wants them to be. They're generally like 10 minutes or so. They're heartfelt with a dash of humor. I write it with the bride and groom, so they know exactly what's going to be said, when it's going to be said, and like, you know, inside jokes and stories and anecdotes. Like it's really a fun process. So
cool.
So yeah, hit me up at @MarriedByAJ on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Let this man marry you.
Thank you.
Yes. Okay.
And thank you for having me. I had such a good time.
I'm so glad. Let me go ahead and just say where you can find me. I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Daft Pansy. I'm never going to change it. I've had it forever and it's going to stay the same. Al, where can we find you?
Oh, me? Instagram at Al__yeah. Twitter, kayfabe Al. You can find the show on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. That Twitch is coming 2022. Everything is kayfabe Queens. Thanks again for listening. Thanks again for watching. Give us 5 stars. We got stickers. We got everything you need. Just hit us up and we'll see you. Oh yeah. If you see us at Best of West, I'll probably have the stickers. So get some stickers. They're real
Did
cute.
I get one? I don't know that I got one. I want some.
I'll bring you a sticker. Hell yeah. I'll bring you a sticker.
Okay, great.
I got 3 options. You can have them.
Thank you. And then as soon as we sign off here, I'm going to rate 5 stars. 5-star rating.
Yay! Thank you.
Every platform, all of that. Thank you again, AJ. It was so awesome. And
my pleasure.
See you in the next one.